Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
The Anna and Raven Roadshow is back joining us. It's our friend Ryan Brecklin from GoodBottleAuctions.com. He's an expert appraiser. For the last couple of weeks, we have taken all your submissions of things that you have around the house that you've always wondered, what's this worth? Ryan, what do you want to talk about right now?
So this comes from Michael, and the subject line of the email is 100-year-old couch.
Okay.
What year would a 100-year-old couch have been made right now?
Oh, don't play this game with me. I keep thinking it's 2005 for reason.
Seriously?
It's
1925.
1925.
Okay.
That would be a 100-year-old couch.
That's pretty easy math.
I don't know why I think it's 2005, but go ahead.
What Michael sent a photo of was a 1960s couch.
Oh.
Not a 100-year-old couch, but it's in the style of something that's called mid-century modern. Mid-century modern furniture is red hot right now as a category. People are restoring, trading, they're decorating with it. It's a much more simple and minimalistic design. It's been hot for years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, oftentimes you'll hear the phrase, of course, they just don't make it like they used to. And I think with furniture, a lot of people have seen that.
Right. These are durable objects that they have a whole business of restoring, and they're in this certain style. Some of them are made by famous designers and produced by famous companies. Mm-hmm. And the best pieces bring tens of thousands.
Wow.
Why though? So sometimes I'll be walking through a furniture store and one is so expensive and one that looks very similar is so cheap. Like, how do you tell the difference in which is it quality? What is it?
Well, it's a combination of things. The most collectible and the most valuable objects usually have these intersecting lines. So a chair that was designed by Charles and Ray Eames and then manufactured by Herman Miller and is iconic and been in movies, on television shows. People see that and go, oh, I want that chair.
Yeah.
And although you can buy a reproduction of it for a few $100s, people go, oh, the real one's valuable, so I'll invest in that one. Or I'll get the one that I saw in the movie. And scarcity and demand. You don't have a big supply. Lots of people are putting it in their homes, and there's less out there, so the price goes up.
We can't laugh at Grandma anymore because she had those bags all over the sofa.
This is one of those sofas where it's actually covered in plastic. It's right out of a movie.
Right. No, I remember my grandmother had the sofa we didn't sit on because it was covered in plastic. Why was that a thing?
It was a sales technique at the furniture store.
Right. You'll keep it forever and then just uncover it when the company comes over.
Right. Except for the foam that they put in these things breaks down in about 6 or 7 years. So if you actually saw when they got used, all the foam would break down and turn into dust. And I mean, they just don't last. This particular sofa is kind of in the mid-century modern style, but it's a category we call kitsch. So this was a lower-end furniture company making furniture in that style, but it wasn't by a designer. Mm-hmm. It wasn't by a famous manufacturer. It's a look-alike of the period.
Right.
Okay.
So today, with the plastic on it, this sofa that no one ever touched is worth $0.
Come on!
Oh, my God. I read that email. He's been holding on to that thing for years.
Oh, no. Yeah. Imagine him moving it from location to location, thinking he's got some big prize. Oh, that's terrible.
You might have to pay somebody to take this out of
the house. Oh, my gosh.
Because it weighs a ton.
What's the most expensive couch you've ever sold?
Some of the really high-end Victorian and aesthetic late 19th century, think Rockefeller gilded era, that sort of thing.
Yeah, massive.
When it has carvings of lions' heads and things like that, those can bring $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for a sofa.
Okay,
that's nice.
Because in one of Taylor Swift's songs, she talks about her ex and his $1 million couch, and I always wondered in my head, I go, what does $1 million couch look like?
I think that's metaphorical, right? That's where love happens. Not just watching blockbuster flicks.
All right, we're going to have more of Ryan Brecklin all this week.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
Let's talk about vases. The Anna and Raven Roadshow is back. Our friend Ryan Brecklin, he's an expert appraiser. You can find him online at goodbottleauctions.com. We took all your submissions. Man, you sent me hundreds of vases. So many vases. And I know, Ryan, I would look at them and I would think, who got it at a tag sale? Who got it at Goodwill? Who inherited it? Who found it somewhere? Everyone thinks their vases are worth money.
Well, we've been taught by television and movies that that image of an auctioneer hammering the gavel on a Ming vase is valuable.
Nothing worse that could happen to you as being a child or a guest in somebody's home as to knock over a vase and break it.
Right. And we also have heard rags to riches stories when someone discovers a rare vase or finds it at a tag sale or something for a nickel, right?
Yeah.
What do we have?
Do we have any of those? Because I went through a lot of them and I was like, these all look exactly the same.
I think we have one.
Oh my God. Okay, go ahead.
All right, this is Dawn. And she sends in, let's see, I'll read some of the email. Here are pictures of a vase I picked up at a tag sale about 20 years ago. I haven't done much research, but it looks like it's a Tiffany vase. There's real Tiffany vases. There's lots of fakes out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to use your investigation skills. I'll show you guys a picture. This is a gold vase with a leaf pattern on it, leaf and vine pattern.
It's actually really pretty.
And yeah, it's nice.
It's iridescent. This thing nearly glows in sunlight.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
And that's the first clue that you want when you're looking at a Tiffany vase. Is the glass right? Is that how they made it? Is that how they applied the finish to the glass? Now, before you even turn it over and look for a signature, the glass and the shape of the glass have to look right. And this does. This is, I'm guessing, about 10 to 12 inches tall. And on the bottom, it does say LC Tiffany. Favril, which is the type of glass and the way that they made the glass. And it has the serial number as well. I could zoom in a little bit. Tiffany used a very special vibrating pen to sign on the bottom of the vases, and it's hard to duplicate. In fact, they've mapped out some of the frequency of the vibrations on that pen so that they can determine the real from the fake signatures.
Wow. It's amazing, right?
Without holding it in my hand, I think this one's real. Now, I don't know what Dawn paid for it at a tag sale, but if it was 20 years ago at a tag sale, maybe you scored it for a few bucks, you know?
Right.
Today's value on this vase is over $2,000.
Wow! That's awesome.
I mean, congratulations, right? Having the forethought and keeping everybody away from that vase for the past, you know, I don't know, however many years. That's pretty amazing.
Yes. Right, so let's say you have one of these vases, because I know there's going to be so many people that send up the follow-up emails. Did you do mine?
Right.
Obviously, if you have a Tiffany vase and it says Tiffany, you want to know how much it's worth, you know, if it's real or whatever. But are there any other names that are written on the bottom that immediately stick out in your head that's a good one?
Art glass, specifically in art glasses, you can look at artists like Dale Ciulli, who makes those big installations at casinos. He made vases. His studio made vases. And there's hundreds of other names that are good. You could just look up art glass vase on eBay and find valuable ones that have been made for centuries and centuries. Vases in general, people hang on to. They want to put flowers in something. And we've had them for millennia, really. There's lots of people holding on to old English pottery vases. They're not really worth a heck of a lot.
Mm.
There's lots of stuff that says made in Occupied Japan. Occupied Japan was just cranking those things out and sending them to the United States after World War II. So
you've told us that before. Yeah,
yeah.
There's so much of it.
Most of the stuff that was made in Japan for the U.S. market was done quickly, low quality, and they're neat. It's an inexpensive way to collect something, but they're not really valuable.
All right. So if you go to a tag sale and you see a vase, make sure it says Tiffany on the bottom. We're going to have more with Ryan coming up tomorrow.